When you were a child and you were all excited when the tree goes up and the lights go up and you started thinking about the gifts that you had in mind. Was anybody weird like me? Did you make a wish list for your parents? Or for Santa Claus or whichever, and you had all the things, and anybody real particular like me? You had specific things. You still make your list? Maybe you make it for your wife? Okay. sometimes some of us maybe are weird like me. You put them in priority order. This is, if you're going to give me anything, this is the first thing I want, and it's an exciting time. Yeah, and for your kids too? You give your wish for them. Okay. That's okay. But it is an exciting time, but it's also sometimes a season of anxiety and stress and difficulty, as some of us maybe, if there's been a loved one who is lost and we approach Christmas for the first time without that loved one, There's a little bit of difficulty with that. Some of us maybe have lost a loved one 10 years ago, and it still stings heading to the holiday season where everybody else around us is busy and happy and excited. There's this pain, this silent pain there. Or maybe we're going to interact with some relatives that we don't usually interact with except for on Christmas Day, and there's some anxiety about that and some stress about that. Or maybe it's the financial expectations that are upon us, the expectation to buy gifts, especially if you have a lot of grandkids. Maybe your family keeps growing, and there's this stress that the rest of the year I'm fine, but in December there's all this money I have to spend. And we want to be givers and all that stuff, but there's this anxiety that we carry with us. And that's not what Christ wanted to bring when he came into this world. When Christ entered into this world, he wanted to bring joy, peace on earth, and comfort into our lives. And yet, many of us here, that's not what we feel, because we're carrying burdens and stuff. And Jesus wants you to know this morning, as we're going to move through this message, he wants to help you find out where that comfort is and how to access that comfort. And if you would, let's look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And before we read that, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16, that Jesus Christ and God our Father gave us eternal comfort. And wouldn't you like to have that comfort that lasts, that just never goes away, eternally comforted? Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22, we're going to see an interaction with Simeon, the priest, and the baby Jesus. It says, "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Verse 25. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was a righteous and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said," verse 29, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." So Simeon was so looking forward to this coming of the Messiah, and it says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, consolation we might know in context with maybe consolation prize, and really the term itself is mean to when someone experiences a loss or a difficulty, when you console someone, you're bringing them comfort. And Jesus was to be the consoling, the comforting of Israel. When he came into this earth, he brought with him the gift of comfort. Now, does anybody have comfort food? Anybody have? What are some of our comfort foods? So ice cream? Bacon. Okay. Bacon is a comfort food. I like bacon, too. Anybody else comfort foods? Chocolate. Okay. That's usually the way to a woman's heart, right? Chocolate. Anybody? Chunky monkey? Anybody else comfort foods? Chips? Chips. Okay. What kind of chips? What is it? Or Doritos. Okay. So we like to find ways to comfort ourselves, don't we? Sometimes we do it by drowning our sorrows in food. Anybody ever veg out on the couch watching TV? No, never. Okay, got some nodding heads. Have you ever vegged out and after a little while you've wondered, I don't really know what I just saw. I just kind of was out somewhere else and you're just kind of in zombie land. Or sometimes we like to just take a breather. Have you ever liked to just take a breather, just walk away from everybody and just kind of chill out, take a breather, and get away from the tension? Maybe at Christmas time, do you ever walk outside and just, I need to take a break from this? We try to take a breather. Sometimes we get venting sessions. We call someone and we just kind of lay out everything that's on our heart that's bothering us and just kind of unload. We find different ways to try to find comfort. Some of us turn to things that maybe aren't the best. Some of us turn to cigarettes or alcohol or drugs or immorality and other things. But we find ourselves often a heart that is hungering to be comforted because there is a weight that bears upon us in walking in this world. And there is a comfort that, as Paul said in Thessalonians, is an eternal comfort. Because all of those comforts, don't you wish that you could eat that bowl of ice cream and go to work on Monday morning and everything is just rosy because of that bowl of ice cream? Don't you wish that? Don't you wish you could just carry a chocolate bar in your pocket and any time it got stressful, you ate that chocolate bar and the problem just went away? But it doesn't work like that. Chocolate is not eternal comfort. Ice cream, comfort foods, bacon is not eternal comfort. Cigarettes and drugs and alcohol is not eternal comfort. Television, vegging out is not eternal comfort. So how do we find this comfort that lasts, irregardless of what circumstances are around us? How do we find the comfort that is eternal found in Jesus Christ? And there are two ways. The first way is this. We must know certain things. And the first is to know where comfort is found or how to get ourselves in close proximity with comfort. And the first place it is found is through salvation. Luke 16, verse 25, and in your bulletin on the inside, on the left-hand side, are all the references for today, for the scriptural references. But Luke 16, 25 says, but Abraham said, child, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here. Comfort and salvation in knowing that... I mean, if you knew that in 3 years you were going to live in a mansion that was going to be taken care of by a staff, and even though you're right now in a very small place that's falling apart, would you be able to hold out for 3 years? That would give us comfort because we know, well, this is only temporary. If you knew that you were struggling paycheck to paycheck, but next week you were going to win the lottery, now some of you that might create a great deal of stress and the opposite effect, but if you knew that the money was going to come in a year, 2, 3 years down there, you can hold on. If you had some kind of physical health issue that you were wrestling with that you knew 6 months from now it was going to be healed miraculously, then we can kind of push through the pain a little bit because we know what's ahead of us. And it's the same way with the salvation. If we know where we're headed, because some of us, I don't think we realize how real that place is. If we knew that we're going to dwell in a place where for all eternity there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death, for all eternity just delighting in the presence of God, delighting in the presence of others, and there is provisions for all eternity and joy forevermore, then who cares if I have a small house here? Who cares if I have a car that falls apart all the time? Who cares if people don't like me? Who cares if I live paycheck to paycheck? Who cares if I have various physical issues in my life? If my hope is pointed heavenward in my salvation, then I can have comfort in the midst of everything else that I find myself facing. And so the first place that comfort is found is salvation. The second place is in relationships. Paul says in Philemon, verse 7, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother. Joy in these relationships. And if any of you have had children or nieces or nephews, no one can love you like a 2-year-old child. It's just, I remember Faith when she would just run, Daddy, 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 when I would come home and just throw her arms around me. No one can love you like a child. And we long for those things. That's why grandparents adore their grandchildren, because we love to experience that love exchange within a relationship. And if we have those kind of relationships where we have this love exchange with other people, then there is comfort that is found in those relationships. That's why God said when he created man, it's not good for man to be alone, because there is joy found in relationships. But some of us, we don't try to cultivate those relationships until things go bad. And then I need someone's help. I need someone to support me. I need someone to talk to. And we're looking for those relationships when things are bad, instead of cultivating those on a regular basis. Because when you turn to somebody when things are bad and you don't have a relationship, there's not the depth that's needed to provide that comfort. And so we need to constantly cultivate strong, healthy relationships in our lives so that when we hit rock bottom, there is someone there that we have a depth with that can provide that kind of comfort. And so where do I find comfort? If I put myself in close proximity, I'll get to you later, Michael. If we put ourselves in close proximity to comfort, where is salvation? Where is relationships? Thirdly, presence. It says in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And see, the rod sometimes is used for discipline, but the rod is also used for protection. Anybody when you were a child had a fear of darkness? Anybody ever afraid of the dark? Okay. I know some kids that are afraid to go anywhere in a room that it's dark, and we have fear of darkness. Or ever gone, made a wrong turn down an alley somewhere, and all of a sudden your doors are getting locked real quick, and you're speeding up a little bit, and we're afraid. But imagine if everywhere you went, you had an armed guard with you. You might feel just a little bit more, there might be some comfort in presence of other people there with you. For some reason, it's like that, I don't know what it is, but you could be in a house by yourself and hear a weird noise and be more afraid than when your children are with you. And it's not like your children can protect you or anything, but if there's presence of other people with you, there's something comforting about that. And that's why David understood that when he said, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. Your presence is with me. But again, just like those earthly relationships, if we're only cultivating a relationship with God when we are desperate and we are needing him, there's not the same depth that is there for the person who is always seeking him, always resting in his presence, and then when they need that comfort, they have that depth there. Do we want to be comforted this Christmas season? Do we want to have that eternal comfort that lasts? Then we have to be where comfort is found, in salvation, in relationships, in presence. Fourthly, in the Holy Spirit. Acts 9:31 says, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Paul says that when we pray in the Spirit, we edify ourselves, we strengthen our faith. And we need to have the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, because there's so much power in there. And sometimes we just think, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we just think power and healings and miracles and those sort of things. But there's also comfort found in operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. And so do we want this eternal comfort, this gift that Christ brought into the world, that did so much to earn for us comfort, that is found only if we are in close proximity to where it can be found? That is in salvation, in relationships, in presence, and in the Holy Spirit. But then how do we access it? Because sometimes it's there, but we're not utilizing it. Because if you try to work a power saw and you don't have it plugged into the outlet, it's not going to do anything. The pastor I worked for previously, he used to make fun of me because we had this lawnmower. It was a riding lawnmower, and they had a pretty good amount of grass to cover, and Heather's already laughing at me. And when you cut the grass, you turn on the engine, and the engine's going, but the blade isn't going until you pull this little thing out. And it makes a little bit different of sound, just slightly, that you can hear. And there's been a couple times that I'm wheeling right around, just kind of having a good time flying around. And then I look out, and Pastor Jeff's going, and I stop, and I turn off the engine, and he's like, the blade's not running. Oh, man, you mean I did all that and didn't accomplish a thing? And I used to be so irritated at times because I spent a whole hour, and that thing, it took 4 hours to cut that grass. And there's sometimes I wasted a whole hour or two just because I didn't have the blade on. And Jesus earned for us comfort, but sometimes we are not accessing it, though it's right in front of our faces. And how do we tap into the comfort that Jesus Christ provides? First of all, we do it through study of the Bible. It says, Psalm 119, verses 48 through 52 contain these statements. I lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember your word to your servant, in which you made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promises give me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. There is comfort found in the scriptures. And I tell you what, you need to cultivate that, because I don't know, some of you might have a hard time with memorizing things, but I'm telling you, I've talked with people who have had a hard time memorizing things, and you can do this. You can get to a place where you're memorizing scripture, because I've memorized a lot of scripture, and I can't tell you how many times I've been in circumstances and issues where that scripture just pops, comes flying right in, because I've put it to memory, because I've meditated on it, because I've studied it. And if we find ourselves studying the scripture, I can't tell you how many nuggets, how many amazing things are in there to be found that bring us life and bring us encouragement, but we're not going to access that comfort if we're not looking to where the words of life are. And so we need to access it through study of the scripture. Secondly, we need to access it through church involvement. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11 says, finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. The way the body of Christ should be functioning is we're there to encourage one another and comfort one another. And there is nobody who can comfort you better than someone who has had Christ change their lives. There just isn't. Because Christ is where the source of love and comfort is. And when we have that working in our lives, we can comfort one another in a way that other people cannot. And so I want to encourage you, be a part of the body of Christ. Because sometimes we're separate, we're alienated from that, and we don't have that comfort provided. And there's such a stability, there's such an encouragement. I remember when I was wrestling through things, and I'd go to church on Sunday morning after a rough week, and there's just such an uplifting experience to be in the body of Christ and be able to go face Monday all over again and come right back around on Sunday and get that comfort again. There's comfort in the body of Christ. And thirdly, there's comfort in ministry. Comfort accessed through ministry. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4, I am acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. I am filled with comfort. In all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. What he was saying there is he had been ministering to these individuals. And as he's ministering to them, he's beginning to see fruit take place in their lives. And when he begins to see fruit take place in their lives, that's what gives him joy and comfort, is to see that he's being used for God to accomplish something. But we have an interesting thing about this nature of ours. You see, comfort is found, one, in relationships. That's where it's found. And comfort is accessed through ministry. But many times when we find ourselves going through a difficult time and struggling with something, we often want to withdraw. We want to pull away from relationships. We want to go off somewhere in seclusion and get away. And that's not where comfort is found. And many times people have found themselves pulling out of relationships and becoming disassociated with people, and they find themselves in a corner where they are hoping to find comfort, and they only find themselves deeping further into deep, dark depression and despair, because joy and comfort is not found in being alone. It's found in being the presence of the Lord in relationships, and it's found in ministry. And some people find themselves feeling burned out, overused, and they step out and they stop ministering. And listen, I can't tell you what joy there is when you touch another person's life. When you make a difference in somebody's life, there is so much joy in there. And many times we decide to pull out because it's got hard, it's got difficult. Well, I'm going through a lot of things right now, and so I don't know if I want to get involved with things at this point in my life. And you don't understand. That comfort is not found in isolation. That comfort is not found in being detached. That comfort is not found in that bowl of ice cream. That comfort is not found in that bacon. It only lasts for a couple hours until it hits the pit. And then all of a sudden, it's the opposite effect. And all the things we find ourselves chasing after for artificial comfort, Paul talks about an eternal comfort. But sometimes we have to push past those difficulties, the tiredness, and the hindrances to get to the other side. Have you ever found yourself working on a difficult project? And when you got to the other end of it, It didn't feel worth it when you're going through the journey, but when we got to the other end of it, oh my goodness, how much comfort and joy there was found in that. But we can never get there unless we're willing to push through and do the ministry that God has called us to. It doesn't matter if we're having a hard time, we're struggling. I challenge you, if you're having difficulty with depression, then get involved in ministry and start serving and doing things for other people, because then all of a sudden your attention shifts off you and it shifts on other people and you begin to find the joy and the comfort of the Lord. Don't you want that? Don't you want to receive eternal comfort? It is only if we access it through the study of the Bible, through church involvement, through ministry, and through, lastly, having a kingdom heart. 2 Corinthians 1:5 says, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." If we identify with what Christ cares about, that's why it says, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He's referring to the burden of caring about the kingdom of God. If we are so concerned about that other than our job, our financial state, our health, and certain relationships, we're so consumed, we just want the kingdom of God, then you're going to find that there's going to be so much comfort found in that, because when you lose something, it doesn't matter because I didn't lose the kingdom. When you get sick, it doesn't matter because I didn't lose the kingdom. When someone doesn't like you anymore, it doesn't matter because I didn't lose the kingdom. If that's the way we're living, I'm telling you what, there is so much comfort to be found that is an eternal comfort that cannot be thwarted. Don't you want to be comforted this morning? If you would stand with me, worship team, if you want to come and prepare to lead us. We serve a God who is the God of all comfort. And we serve a Savior that when he came into the world, Simeon in his heart had in mind he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the comforter of Israel. And here this morning, as we approach Christmas Day and we're finding ourselves in the midst of Christmas season, what is it that is weighing upon you and upon your heart? Because in a moment we're going to give you an opportunity to come to this altar and seek the God of all comfort. And the Holy Spirit is here and wants to love on you and wants to comfort you. Sometimes we just picture God as the judge who just wants to offer correction all the time. But that's not the loving Father that we serve. He wants to stoop down and pick you up in his loving arms and comfort you through whatever you're going through. And maybe the Lord's tugging at your heart that you're realizing that I've not been cultivating the right things in my life. I've not been staying in the body of Christ. I've not been seeking the scriptures. I've not been in the presence of the Lord. I've not been serving. And you realize there's something that needs to be different in my life. And in a moment, if that's you, would you come and make that commitment to the Lord? Lord, I'm going to start seeking the things that I know will bring life and bring peace and bring comfort. Or maybe you're here this morning and you are not walking with Jesus Christ. You're not serving him. You're not a follower of Jesus. There is no comfort, true comfort, outside of Christ. And so I want to encourage you to commit your life to him and you will find comfort. Or maybe you just need loved on for any particular reason, but the Holy Spirit is here and can comfort you in ways that no one else can. And so wouldn't you like to receive eternal comfort? Let's seek him together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your sweet, sweet presence. Thank you that no matter what we're going through, you are with us and you will never leave us or forsake us. And so we thank you so much for the sweet, sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. And I sensed as I was standing over there, there are at least three that are needing to hear three different words, but very short, very simple. One is that you need to hear that the Lord is saying this to you, and if you're struggling and doubting with this, the Lord is saying this to you: I love you. The second is this, and you know who you are that's wrestling with this. But very simply, the Lord wants to say to you, whoever you are, I accept you. And thirdly, there is someone here that's wrestling with this, and the Lord just simply wants to say, I am with you. And I don't know who those words were for, but let what the Lord is saying to you penetrate to your very core, and let the Holy Spirit so overtake you, the Holy Spirit that was able to cause a virgin to conceive, The same Holy Spirit that was able to raise Jesus Christ from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that's able to bring you so much love and comfort that you could never imagine if we let him into our lives. And I want to ask one other thing. If we could just for a moment, heads bowed and eyes closed. There is no true eternal comfort outside of life of Christ. We must be found in Christ to receive true comfort. And I'm not asking, are you a Christian? You call yourself that. I'm not asking, do you go to a church somewhere? I'm not asking if you believe in the Bible. I'm not asking if you believe Jesus existed. I'm asking, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Because it's those who take up their cross and follow him daily to the very end are the ones who will receive life. That's a Christian. That's a believer. That's one that's headed to heaven, is someone who follows Jesus Christ. And God's touching your heart, and you would say, well, that's not me. I may call myself a Christian, I may believe certain things, but I'm not a follower of Jesus Christ. And today, I would like to become that. If that's you, would you just lift your hand? Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Just lift your hand at me. Good, good. Anybody else? I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, I see your hand. Good, good. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we thank you. Today is the day of salvation. And we thank you that you have, like we celebrated in communion, you've sacrificed yourself so that we can be cleansed, that we can be forgiven, that we can be brought into the vine, brought into the family, brought into where there is life and life abundantly. And Lord, I ask that you would touch each one here, that there would just be this supernatural working of the Holy Spirit, that even though it's Monday, even though I'm in the midst of a job I don't like, even though I'm in the midst of a household that lacks peace, even though I'm in the midst of a crisis situation, even though my body is not being what I would want it to be, that you would come in like a flood and fill us with your overwhelming comfort that's brought to us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, bring that into our lives. And let us walk in victory. Let us walk in triumph, because we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. And may you help each and every one of us to walk in that, Lord, to ease all pain and anxiety. Lord, perfect love, cast out all fear. And may that be what we encounter with you, not only in this place, but throughout our daily lives. We ask for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.